on. Yes. All right. So today's topic on August 23rd, 2015, for Spirit Beings Everywhere, I thought we'd talk about the Kingdom of God and the Kingdom of Heaven. And so let's start chatting. And again, it triggered for me because I kind of mentioned that I believe I'm going to share a word on in a wild quota here. This is the seed that I got. This year we will see, and the year is 5776, we'll see and experience and have a new understanding of the kingdom, specifically a greater emphasis on the kingdom of earth, the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of God. So that's what I believe I'm gonna have a word on. But today's topic is about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So what are your thoughts? Are those the same thing to you guys? Are they different? Are they important? What do you think?
Sure, it's a good question. I've never actually thought of it as two different realms.
The kingdom of earth, when I think about the kingdom of earth, I think about the world and all the world structures and systems and how we operate in the world. And then when I think about the kingdom of heaven, I think about how we operate in heaven with the court systems and just being there with Jesus and all that, like, and angels and everything.
Cool.
So it's like, it's almost like the kingdom of earth is a copy of the kingdom of heaven, but it's like being corrupted.
Yes.
So now, as sons of God, as we walk in our sonship, God wants to bring the kingdom of heaven back down into the kingdom of earth so that we can start to change the kingdom of earth back to the original state it used to be before the fall.
I'm going to use that message in my word. That's great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jessica.
Oh, that's just my thinking.
No, I think that's God's thinking too. Thank you.
There shouldn't be any difference between the two, actually. They should be the same realm, aren't they?
Oh, interesting. So, again, we're focused on the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So one of us said it was different, and then Jessica gave a great description of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. That was awesome. I'm going to steal that, I'm pretty sure. And any other thoughts about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? Now that we're thinking about it, you know, because I don't think we were before.
I had the question wrong.
That's okay. No. That wasn't wrong because it was good for me because we're actually going to hit that at the end. But you're good. No, that was great. I'm glad you heard it wrong, which was right. See, the dog echoes. I was right. You were right, girl. You go, girl. That's what, that was the interpretation of that. It was you go, girl, and dog. I wrote down something like this. These are, and it's in the notes that's there. These are both. Larissa, do you have anything you wanted to add or you want to type? Or?
I'm actually looking it up on Bible Gateway.
Okay.
I'm just saying, okay, I got like Kingdom of Heaven and Kingdom of God. So I'm like going through it, just waiting for something to pop to me. So,
well, I wrote down, these are both kingdoms, but they're not the same. And I use my South African knowledge to help you guys out. Just as Johannesburg and Cape Town are both cities, but they are not the same place. Both cities are in South Africa. And I believe this is true. You guys got to correct me here. I said no citizen in that country would ever confuse the two or have the same experiences in both major cities. I need a South African approval of that statement or not.
That's right.
Okay, thank you. I can highlight that and say it's been approved and approved by South Africans everywhere. So on paper, they are just major cities in South Africa, but in experience, they are quite different. I believe that after a tour of those two cities, you would easily know, I guess for me, I would easily know the differences. Right now, I don't. I mean, the only thing that's different between Johannesburg and Cape Town to me is the letters and the spelling, because I've never experienced those two places, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And I believe after a tour of those two cities, it's the accent. I believe after the tour of the two cities, you would easily know the differences and the similarities.
Yes.
I believe this is true of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. I believe it's time now that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, it's time for us to have a tour to understand the differences. And we need to know the differences, because I'm believing that until you know what's there, you can't relate, or more importantly, you don't want to go there if it's not important to you to go there. If it's not valuable for you to go there, if you don't know what's the benefits of going there, then you may not relate there. I believe that just like in Matthew, when Jesus told Peter that, hey, how'd you know that about me? Oh, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but my Father who's in heaven revealed it to you. We need to be more dependent upon the Father telling us what's going on instead of us guessing, right? From a guessing point of view, from an earth perspective, from a human perspective, I could have a good opinion or a bad opinion about those two cities, but it doesn't matter my opinion. I need to be, Father, please reveal to me what's going on there so I can relate properly there, right? We need to walk in revelation of everything and not by just knowledge of, right? We should stop being so codependent upon our brain and walk in relationship with the Father so he can, you know, put us right, right? And that's available. Yeah. I mean, even now as Larissa's looking stuff, if you do your own search, there are 69 different references to the kingdom of God according to the Strong's Concordance, right? There are 32 references of the kingdom of heaven according to the Strong's Concordance, right? So they're there. As I was, you know, starting to go through this, I was like, you know, I said, God, so is all my little studies that I do bad? He says, no. It's just like when you travel, you want to know about the city before you get there. So there's some things you can know at a distance. There's other things you can know by experience, right? And we need to be, as sons of God and citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we need to know more about that, just not from hearsay, but firsthand and experientially, right? At minimum, be open for it, right? But more importantly, when in Matthew 6:33, when the Father said, or Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When that scripture came to mind, I was like, oh, that's cool. That's why we need to do it. And the Lord goes, there are many people who are not seeking any kingdom, which is not good. And then some people have been seeking the kingdom of heaven, thinking it was the same thing as the kingdom of God, but they've lost context, right? And so, and I wrote down, this is kind of bold, where I don't know if this is true or not, but I wrote down anyway, that if you're seeking, if you replace that, and this is kind of, I don't know if I'm going to read it, but I already typed it out. So taking a literal tour will lead you to some understanding of these nice places called the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. But if... I believe the kingdom of God is more of what's inside of you, because the King of Kings now dwells in us. So it's more of an internal, inside focus. And the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of God, is at hand, is more of an external focus. So where you look for these two places is important, right?
Mm-hmm.
But either way, it's about our relationship with and relating to, okay? If you spend all your energy or some amount of energy seeking the kingdom of heaven first, then I think if you look at the scripture there in Matthew, wherever it is, Matthew 6, the whole section context, it talks about, you know, you worry about your clothing, you worry about food, you worry about all the stuff, but if you seek first my kingdom, all these things will be added unto you. The kingdom of God. But So that's the context. So what I wrote down here, I think from Revelation or just from whatever words smithing, if you spend all your energy seeking first the kingdom of heaven, then you may have the possibility of continuing to worry, which will lead to much more frustration and to distractions, right?
Sure, so, that's good.
So that's, and I heard that, and I was kind of like, is that true? And I was pondering on, I still do the thing of, okay, God, you said that, but I don't know if I believe that. And so when I go into that little I don't believe you mode, he'll throw something else out there. And I'll share this with you that might help you with this thingy. And like someone said, the kingdom of God is within us. That's right. Our personal kingdom with God and building our own role in the kingdom with heaven and with God. Yep. And so the kingdom of God is within. And so if you look for the kingdom of God up in the stars in the sky or someplace else, you may not get there, right?
Mm.
And that's just kind of, and so we're not those weirdo people. Well, maybe some of Lisa Tate might be, but we're not those who are just looking for experiences. We're looking to be with our Father, right? And if there's a verse that says, seek first the kingdom of God, let's figure out, okay, why did he make that a paramount deal? He doesn't say seek first the kingdom of heaven. He says seek first the kingdom of God. Okay, is there more to that? And that's our discussion is about, is there more to that? But let me say this, share this a little bit, what the Lord's kind of showing me on this deal. Back in the ninth grade, so that was like when I was, 15, 14, I lived in Kansas, and we just moved there. And so I was in the process of meeting people and making new friends for the ninth grade year, our first year of high school. So a guy who I knew for about a month or two introduced me to a new girl that just moved in down the street. And he introduced me as, hey, this is Wally. And when she looked at me like and gave me this really weird look and looked at him like, really weird. And then it's kind of like, why would you say that? And we're going like, say, what did we mess up with already? And it's, and thinking this is like, all he said was, this is Wally. And so it ended up that the word Wally to her had a different connotation than to me, because it was my name. But it took us a while to find out that she was from Texas and where she grew up or where she was from, Wally meant something totally different. It actually meant something bad, okay?
Sure.
And so because of her understanding of that name, she could not relate to me, okay? Mm. So our understanding of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven impacts our ability to relate to that place. Does that help you?
Yes.
So we need to have the Father's understanding of everything he says, and not just what we think it means, okay? And that's true, and that's why we're going to talk about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Anybody want to, any thoughts on where we are going now?
No, it's good.
So, the kingdom of God, okay? That's right. Those who are reading along.
I'm not reading.
Those on the tape, it says, I just remember that we should stop being a Wally, stop being silly, right? Now, so when I heard that in the ninth grade, and hers was not just being a Wally silly, but it was like, it was bad. Anyway, so for years, I'm thinking, it can't mean that, but I had no other definition of that name other than it was my name and my Father's name, right?
Mm-hmm.
And years later, like after college and like, I was traveling someplace and I was at a Christian bookstore. And do they have this in the nations too, where there's your name, a little verse next to it, that kind of thing? You guys have that?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, in the West, because we like to make money, we take your name, we slap some verse on there, and you buy it because you think it's special, right? Okay. Oh, look, my name is with Proverbs 3:18. Oh my gosh, I'm special! So in all of the Christian bookstores in North America, You can go in there and you can buy a plaque with your name on it in some verse and you feel special, right? So I was trying to be special most of my life, and I go to this bookstore and my name was never there. There was never a Wally, right? And I'm like, darn it, I'm just that bad name that girl thinks about. So your whole identity, you know. But all the people had the verses. My name means promise of God. My name means special one. My name means gift of the Father. My name, shut up. So I was looking for identity in the Christian bookstore. Your identity is not there. Your life is hidden in Christ Jesus, right? But one day, after I'd given up looking in the Christian bookstores, I was traveling someplace, and I was hunting in a bookstore. I'm a hunter, not a shopper. I'm a hunter. I look for things, you know? So I'm looking, and I find a little tiny plaque. It was wooden. I still got it someplace. It's wooden. And the first time, there was my name on there, Wally. And it said, Powerful Warrior. And I thought, oh, that's good. And I bought the plaque, you know, and I kept it. And so now I had a new definition of what my name was, and it was really good. And because before that, I think a year or two before that, I found my name. I found my surname. My Wallace is my birth name, Wallace. And the nice plaque or someplace, and it said, Man from Walls. I thought, what does that mean? It has no value. Man from Walls. That's stupid. You know, so I now had a stupid definition and no definition, right? But then I finally found the Wally deal. So definitions are very, very important, okay? And yeah. More important is whatever value we put to them, right? And so sometimes, you know, for whatever things we don't understand, things we don't know about, sometimes something we don't know about, we devalue it or we don't pursue it, right? Or we don't give anything to it. Like, you know, when I read through for, you know, not millions of times, but lots of times, Kingdom of God, Kingdom of Heaven, I assumed they were the same thing, right? I didn't dig into it. I didn't go check the Greek out. I didn't go check different translations out. It wasn't that important to me, right? I just thought it was just that until a few days ago, right? I was like, oh. And so whenever the Father, you know, highlights or, you know, kind of gives some
insight,
the good, I like that. Or we go spiritual and do the Moses thing and look, a burning bush, right? And so Moses, when the bush started burning, it says that Moses turned aside to see the burning bush. So when you're reading a book, a Bible, a movie, there's sometimes the Lord will say something to get your attention to focus on something, right? Yeah. And then it gets more important to you. Right? So this week, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven became important. They weren't important last week. You know, I mean, they were important to God last week. They weren't important to me, right?
So
whatever, you know, there's the Wallace and Gromit thing. That's true. And that's a horrible image of that guy as a cartoon deal. It's like, what? That's not me, you know. So I'm now more secure in my identity. but once you get the Father's definition or the Father's value of something, you need to hold to that. Because that value thing will be – anything of value will be – there will be attempts to either devalue it or to steal it from you, okay? And so once you get a revelation, you've got to hold on to that, and that's where you got to guard. It's supposed to guard your heart, because in your heart are those valuable things, right? So anyway, so I believe the kingdom of God is referring to the King of Kings, who's abiding in you, and his union with you. Okay. You are in him. And he is in you. You are God's kingdom when you are rightly relating to him, rightly relating to the king as a son. Okay?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So now when you look at that verse of seek first the kingdom of God, first. And then if you look in the Greek, whether first is paramount, make first place, give high attention to. If we would get our relationship with the Father set and me relating to him and him relating to me, correct, everything else would line up. We wouldn't be worried about that pastor hasn't ever gave me a word. That prophet never looks in my way. They never help me. They. But once you have a right understanding of who you are in the Father's eyes, Everything else kind of is like, what's silly? I don't care what she says about me or he says about me. I don't care if my pastor never recognized me. It doesn't matter because you're recognized by the one who counts that matters, right? And so, yes, but once we gave our attention on, I mean, what's a simple thingy? I can't tell you how many dollars, it's U.S. dollars, not rand, I spent on traveling to a conference to hear the newest thing, right? Or revelation, or hear that speaker, including travel and hotel and time and energy, to hear something that was good, but I could have traveled to the inside of me, which cost me nothing, right? To meet with the King of Kings, right?
Yeah. And
to get it all taken care of right there, right? Because in that place, in his kingdom, he wants to teach you face-to-face, one-on-one. Much better teacher than any person that's out there on the circuit right now. Okay? I mean, our life is hidden in him. This is why I believe Enoch spent so much time with God. And I used to think, it literally, when I read that verse in Genesis, I would imagine, you know, Enoch and God walking down the street for a long time, you know, it's 5 o'clock, I gotta meet God, we're gonna take a walk, you know, and I always visioned that deal, you know, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I don't think they went anywhere. I think Enoch just went to a quiet place and realized that he could have communion with God, and the word walk there wasn't a, you know, walk with God didn't mean they literally walked on a path. It meant they were spending time together, you know. And the reason why it took them so long was because, well, every relationship takes time to build, right? We've been invited, every one of us has been invited to a one-on-one relationship with the Father, right?
Yes.
And all of us are doing something with that invitation. Some of us are like, oh, you mean once a year? Oh, you mean during worship? Oh, you mean during, we all have different interpretations of that invitation. But the hint is, make it the first thing you do. So that's why some people do the first thing in the morning, they get up, spend time with God. Or I'm more of a late night, before we go to bed, spend time with God. But the key thing is, it should be very important, right? Because there's great benefits to it, right? And sure, we invest time and energy and all kind of things, but there is, you know, God made a way that he'd be in us, so there'd be nothing to distract. I mean, there's a lot of things to distract us, but it's like there's no distance, right? The kingdom of God is inside, and he's there going, hello, whenever you're ready, I'm right here. You know?
I mean,
we have lots of excuses, but none of them are good enough, right?
Yeah.
It's not like I couldn't afford to make it to America to hear Wally live. Right? You know? There are people who believe that. I haven't seen, you know, you fill the blank. If I only could get to one of his conferences, then I'd be, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so there are people who actually say that. There's other people who just think it really deeply, right? And but God said, like, no, only thing you need is seek first the kingdom of him, of God, you know, and all these things will be added to you. So get to home base first, and then do the rest of it, right? I wrote down something like, as we grow in knowing our Father, we grow in love. And then, you know, and that's cool because faith works by love. A lot of us are trying to get faith, but we might get some of it, but it doesn't work because we have no love. And God is love, right? And I get into formulas and, you know, copycat. I wore his same jacket, said the exact same words. It's not working for me. Darn it, I've got to try it again. Well, that's wrong, right? Hopefully you guys never did that kind of stuff. as we grow more in relationship with the Father, we grow in authority. Authority.
Yes.
Authority is greater than all the power of the enemy. And this is a revelation I just kind of got a couple weeks ago. Authority can only be transferred through relationship.
Yes.
So just as Adam and Eve gave authority to Satan, our Father wants to hand us authority. It's the only way you get it. It's the relationship, right? Now, power can be produced anyway. You know, I can go to the gym, get power. I can use control and get power over people, and an enemy can do the same thing. But authority comes from, has to be given to you, right?
Yes.
And the greatest authority that's out there is our King Jesus, or our God, right? Our Father, the one who created everything. He's the greatest authority. So from that relationship, we can get all authority too, right? And even more so, he'll teach us how to use it, right? So that's just really cool. As we grow in still more relationship with our Father, he will manifest us, or he will announce us to all creation, right? We don't need a platform, you know, like, okay, first I'll go to Bible school in the best Bible school on the planet. Next, I'll serve in my church. Then after that, I'll get a TV show. Then I'll do TV, radio, satellite, internet. Then the whole world will know me. Or I'll spend time with the Father, and the Father will say, this is my son, listen to him. Which is better, God announcing it or TV announcing it or advertising?
No, definitely.
You know? Now, I used to think it was the marketing thing. You know, if I had just got the right slogan, you know, if I had the right name, if I was the right group, if. But, you know, what if the Father actually would introduce you to people? This is my boy. Oh, my goodness. You know, you don't, I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, what is that possible? Or it's scriptures in Matthew 17. That's what he said. God appears in a big, shiny cloud and says, this is my son, listen to him. What if every conference you went to, God introduced a guest speaker? I think I'd listen to that guy. I'm just saying, if God said, listen to him, I think I'd have a high probability, you know, I would listen to him. Most guys, you know, someone asked me, he may hear this, but anyway, the people I stayed with in Texas, the guy was a lot like me, and he goes, you know, just because you believe it doesn't mean I should believe it. I go, you're right. Don't believe what I'm saying. You need to believe what God is saying, right? But if God tells you what I'm saying is right, you should do what? You know? And so it's a trust factor, right? But if we start building our relationship with the Father, all this stuff we don't need to worry about, you know, which is good. Yeah, I'm liking this thing about, you know, he will manifest us, he will announce us. And that's Matthew 17 and Romans 8. In this place of union inside the kingdom of God, he himself will teach you. And there's even got scripture for that. Isaiah 2:3 says, and many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, and that he may teach us his ways, that we will walk in his paths. You know, I can't tell. I mean, for years I've asked for, you know, I need another mentor. I need that book. I need. What I need is to go spend time with my Heavenly Father, right? Dad. Mm-hmm. And say, I'm willing to sit at your feet. I'm willing to learn from you. I want to know you. And I need to make that as a priority, not knowing all kind of other stuff, you know. You know, what are we doing to make him a priority, right? To make him first, right? I mean, do we believe this, you know? But I think this is that one thing about he himself will teach us. This is a very good reason to seek first the kingdom of God.
You hit it on a nail, Wally.
What's that?
You hit it on a nail.
Go ahead, keep going.
The whole thing about intimacy with the Lord, building a relationship. It's very good. Sure.
Yeah. Anybody else? So in a given week or month or any period of time, do you think we have options to choose between going to the kingdom of God, which is in our belly or inside of us someplace, or going to the kingdom of TV or the kingdom of Facebook or the kingdom of, you name it, you fill in the blank, right? we have so many choices and options, right, of sources of information. We can Google it, we can Yahoo it, we can whatever your favorite search engine is, right?
Yeah.
Or there's the kingdom of God, right? Do you think God knows more than Google?
Of course.
Yeah. Well, I've gone to Google more than God, but there's been a few times I've gone to God on a Google search. And those aren't as fast as Google, but they're cooler than Google, you know.
Yeah.
But what if I would build a habit of first thing I would – I'm getting better. I used to ask me a question first. I'm now getting faster at asking God a question before I think about it. When I say I'm going to think about something, that means I'm asking me something. When I say, Father, what do you think? It means I'm asking him. And it's a big difference,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
I was so reliant upon self, which is ego and pride, that I would ask God maybe, I don't know, hours later, you know, sometimes days later. Oh, God, oh, what do you think about this? Oh, my wife's you guys didn't hear that, did you?
We did.
Yeah, we heard that very clearly.
That darn microphone. How dare you be so petty? But, yeah, years later, right? Why would we do that? You guys heard that
be
too?
Gentle that side there.
But that's the truth, though. Why do we wait so long to go to the source? Yeah.
Because it takes more effort because it's humbling yourself, but in the long run, it's actually more satisfying.
So it takes humility. Wow.
Yeah.
Because why is it that we in and out of it all the time, Molly? You get to a place where you have such intimacy with the Lord, and then all of a sudden you are totally on another, direction again, or you're not spending time with the Lord. How do you get that to sort of level out? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I personally think it starts with someone said it years ago. Some things you start with discipline, then that discipline over a period of time turns into a delight, like. We have the ability to create good habits, right? Or good strongholds too, but it takes effort to create those things, right? It's like, you know, I have friends and I never got this. I don't have I never acquired a taste for beer, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not more spiritual than they are. I just never acquired a taste for beer. I have friends that know all kinds of beers and wine too, and I used to be like, oh, I'm spiritual, they're not. Well, that was just me, my pride thing, eating. But the thing is, it takes time to acquire a taste for something, right? So we bring it to spending time with God. So like, you know, on a good day, right? So the things that we don't realize is what's actually going on in our day, right? And so we got there's so many things going on that affect us, but we don't realize they're affecting us, right? So like on a good day, you know, wow, you know, yay, I spent an hour and a half and it was intimate, it was wonderful, yay, that was awesome, oh my gosh, God, you're so wonderful, you know, we have this revelations of his goodness and we're walking hand in hand, and then 3 days later, you know, we're busy with work and we forgot God's name and we didn't pray at all. Matter of fact, you know, we didn't see anyone. And then we look back on the Sunday versus Wednesday, and we go, oh, I'm just, well, if we take a deeper look, you know, we go, wait a minute, what was going on Sunday? Well, on Sunday, there were people five doors down, five countries down, that were praying and releasing an environment of opening portals over heaven. So you were, your wonderful time with the Lord. Well, it had nothing to do with you. It had something to do with this family or this group of people that were believing for God's goodness to be released across all of South Africa, right? So you got caught up in the wave, right? You thought it was you just making a good decision. No, 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 no. There was someone who was given a life to open a portal for you, right? Well, on Wednesday, there was no portal. Matter of fact, there were some witches that were closing everything down and releasing just lust and perversion. And there was a new book out, and then there was a gathering of New Agers. So there's all these things going on in the background that you just thought, I just made a bad decision. I just want to, you know, no, there's new pressures. There's new weights. Sure. There's new things in the atmosphere. There were things being released against you, things released for you. There was a battle going on. There was your testimony scroll, you know, that day you weren't supposed to be there. You're supposed to do this. All these decisions and dynamics are going on, right? We think, I'm just fleshly today. You know, and I'm, you know, well, there's that, but there's other things too, right? There was, you know, the angel who's assigned to keep you focused in the battle, right? Because of this and that, then your DNA kicked in because the words that your father spoke of you 35 years ago finally have been, you know, have grown to maturity, so now they're effective, right? And then you got the moon was now in this orbit, and then you got the stars in this orbit. They're all against you because the stars are fighting. Instead of fighting for you, these stars are fighting against you. So there's all these dynamics going on that you're like going like, what? I didn't know that was going on. I just thought it was just me. There's more than you going on, right? There's more than just our thoughts. Some days we have to really press in. Some days it's that we fall into his goodness, right? Some days it's like you go, wow, I want those days. Well, then we need to rise up and realize what's going on in our day, right? There's a lady named whose name I forgot, but she has a book called Commanding Our Morning, right? And so it's morning time for her, but for me, I do it at nighttime. But there is no chance in her day. She commands everything to happen in her day. I'm thinking, the first time I heard, who do you think you are? You can't be doing that. She takes nothing for, what's the word? She doesn't live circumstantially. You know, I do live circumstantially. I just kind of, Cindy Trim, thank you. I kind of do Cindy like, I sometimes kind of go like, well, you know, it's a good day and I believe it's a good day. Well, I don't push against this and that. Oh, why don't you believe the sovereignty of God? Yeah, I believe the sovereignty of God. And I read Hebrews 2 that says, God's put it in my hands. What am I doing with this day, right? Yeah, am I letting it happen, or am I taking, you know, same thing with time. Am I under time? Am I taking authority over time? Well, you can't do that. Yes, you can, right? Am I keeping my place in the spirit, or am I letting gravity or the things pull against me, right? Am I feeding my flesh or feeding my spirit, right? What am I doing, right? So we have a big factor in our day, and it's just not, I'm in the arms of Jesus and he's taking care of me. Well, you're in the arms of Jesus and he made a way for you, yes, but there's things we need to take responsibility for. And you won't know those things until you get the Father's perspective of it, right? Until you see things from a filter of love, right? And from I never, when I go outside, you know, later today when I go mow the yard, I am never concerned about the ants in my yard. You know? Now, I am concerned. Now, there was a time I was concerned. I'm concerned about ant mounds in my yard. When there's a big mound of ants, I mowed them one time, and all those ants came and bit my legs. Now, those I need to deal with differently than the ants that are just walking around. You know what I'm saying?
Because
I saw something that, well, the time that they're no big deal. They're just ants. I'll just mow over them. Well, I mowed over an ant mound, and all those ants were now thrown into my legs, right? Thousands of ants make a difference. Now, one ant by itself, I'll mow that, but once I'm out, I go get the raid, the little, you know, killer ant stuff and spray and water. Then I go mow. But there's things I do because something else is in my day, right? So we need to be more aware and just not assume. And the body of Christ gets this assumption mode. We assume all kinds of stuff. We assume this, assume that, we assume this. We assume the devil is busy with somebody else. No, there are devils and demons and strategies. We got to take care of stuff. We can't be floating by and assuming. That's why it's seek first the kingdom of God and not assume everything, right?
It's true.
And, I believe that you are mature when your intent is on being and not on doing.
That's so good.
Yeah. like for me, the whole performance mentality kicks in. I mean, I would love to, I mean, I grew up doing things and getting stuff, right? And to realize all I have to do is be who he called me to be, and I can, and that's all. I don't have to do anything. I just got to be who I am. But no, I got to do something. No, just be, and you'll naturally do. But don't, I flip it around so much, right? And I want to earn stuff, and I want to get stuff, and I. But I just want to, I just want to be in his presence and just be. You know, God is not trying to do stuff. He's just being who he is, right? If we would take on the same characteristics of him, we wouldn't fret. We would be frustrated. You know, we wouldn't be trying to make things happen. I mean, we'd try to make my bills work and pay this and, okay, $200 here, then $20 more here. If I could just rest in him, you know, and learn his ways, then that'd be a lot better than trying to do his ways, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So, again, the simple thing is back to your point. Why are some days are we deep in him and love, and other days we're not? Well, on the not days, there is a reason, right? And every not day, there's one reason, or it's there's one, or maybe there's 100 reasons. But no matter what the reason is, no matter what the obstacle is, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Okay?
Yes.
Nothing can keep you from there. Is there resistance? Yes. Can you get through it? Yes. Some days it takes more effort than other days. But it's about your choice. It's about your choice. And that's a great segue, because last night at our service, we had this lady had a vision. And in the vision, she saw Jesus walk to the front door of our sanctuary, but he didn't come in, because as soon as he tried to come in, there was a wall between him and us, right? And as she shared the vision, she said she saw Jesus wasn't a big Jesus, it was a small Jesus, which was like, small Jesus, what's that? But what she was saying was Jesus was smaller than the wall that was between us. And as worship started, we got to some place, and as we chose to worship, as we pressed in deeper into worship, and the worship started destroying the wall. And as the worship hit the wall, the wall became smaller and smaller and smaller, and the wall was then, I guess, shattered or whatever. And when the wall was shattered, Jesus came into the room, and Jesus just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and she said he filled the room. And when he filled the room, then he was able to work in us, right? And I was like, going, what? Jesus not stopped. But but then I gave a word before or after that that was about our choice, right? And I wrote down, your choice to choose him or choose the Lord, the power of choice is powerful. So your choice to choose him or choose Jesus will shatter every obstacle. Okay. The enemy cannot take your choice. And the whole thing about war, because someone said it's a war going on. I said this out loud to the congregation. Many of us are not ready for war, but that's okay because the Father is. So push aside that excuse and just believe and volunteer. Don't worry about strategies, because he will put you in the right place. You'll be in the right place at the right time. It's not by might, not by power, not by thought. So don't think about it. Just volunteer. And he will do the rest. He will win the battle. He'll win the war. It's not about you. But here's the big part. It's not about you, but he wants to win this war through you. And he can only do it if you volunteer. Right?
Yeah.
So your choice can make you free to be all you want to be. Your choice for him allows him, okay? Your choice for him allows him. And it gives him permission to be I am.
Yes.
Right? And that's just, it's not, we don't have to resist, we have to choose. And if we choose, it gives us the ability, right? If we choose him, He'll war through us, right? And I mean, and we had an amazing demonstration that last night. This little girl, it was amazing. This family. So if you imagine, you're in church and great worship, and it was wonderful, and people are going forward, giving words, these amazing songs coming off the platform, and it was just a wonderful atmosphere, right? And then, and I'm drumming away, but to my right, I see this mom who seems to be lost control of her four kids. They're all, you know, they look very much like South Africans. A lot of blonde, white blonde stuff, right? And so I was kind of worried about this. South Africans will loosen the congregation. You know, security, get those guys. Well, anyway, so I'm always trying to, I get caught up in worship, but every once in a while I start, checking out what's going on in the congregation, right? So I'm looking at these kids running around, and I see one of the blonde kids go up to the lady who's, our pastors were out of town, and I'm watching them whisper, right? I'm thinking, what are you whispering? Go to the bathroom. You don't yet need a permission. Just go to the bathroom. You little South Africans, go over there. You know, you're okay. They're not suffering. Anyway, so the lady gets up, brings the little kid. Now there's three other little brothers and sisters with her who are hanging on her. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? Is this a prayer request? And so the lady says that this little girl has a word. I'm thinking, what? You know, and she says, yeah, the mouths of babes, you know. So the little girl, who had to be maybe not 8, maybe 6 or 7, right, shares this word that says, you know, don't worry about what you're going through. God will help you. I'm thinking, what do you know, little kid? All you know, I mean, that's my thought, right? Well, actually, I don't know if it was my thought. Anyway, that was the thought, right? What do you know? We've just heard some powerful words of God, and I gave a word. What do you know, little kid, you know? And she says, she goes on and on, and I'm thinking, did I hear that? No, I couldn't have heard that. Well, basically, the little kid, well, the four kids and the mom there, they're in the middle of a divorce, right? And the little kid was saying that doesn't matter what you're going through, even, and I heard the words, but I couldn't believe it. She said, our family is going through a divorce. It's breaking my heart, but I know God is good. And he not only will he bring our family through, but God is able to bring you through whatever things you think you can't get through. And I'm like, what? This little girl had the revelation that God was bigger, that she had the right to choose, right? One, to be brave enough to go up there to, you know, just, she said this in front of a whole congregation, right? And she's not like a member. I mean, I've seen the family maybe once before. They're not like, you know, every timers, whatever. But the little girl had to get past her personal fear of speaking, to share that with, to whisper it, then to use it for the microphone, to share it in front of a full congregation of adults. I mean, I don't share that kind of pain, you know, and I think I'm mature, right? And I'm looking at her going like, oh my gosh, she chose the right thing so that God could be himself, right? And so it was amazing, you know, live demonstration of making the right choice, even though the odds were against her and her reality is her world is being split, right? I mean, mom and dad are getting divorced, right? And she declared to herself and the whole congregation that doesn't matter what you're going through, God's bigger than that. I'm like, wow, she has that rev, right? Huh. I need that revelation, you know? And it was like, and we all need the revelation, but where does that revelation come from? It comes from the kingdom of God, from that relationship you have with the Father, that he tells you, I'm with you. And when he tells it to you, to your little ear, you go, oh, so if you're with me, it doesn't matter whatever I face because you're bigger than every obstacle. Why should I fear, right? Even in the midst of the biggest things that are out there, you know, big or small, it is, you know, they're relative. Even though we feel afraid, and even though it's a horrible situation, we still can believe, right? But we have to raise our hand to the Father and go, I need your help. I know you're able to help me.
Yeah.
I need to ask for help. I can ask, I can choose, I can believe. No matter what's going on, I still can ask, choose, believe. Yeah. I can let him be God for me. Right? No demon, no situation, no circumstance can stop me from making that choice. But I still have to make the choice. Mm. It's not automatic. I said it last week, but I need to say it again this week, right? There's no like, I checked the box, God, you know what I'm feeling. No, we need to say, I love you, right? We need to say, I need you whenever we need him, and not just go, I said it last week, it's the last month. I said the prayer 20 years ago, what else do you want from me? Well, he wants everything, you know? And the only way we're going to survive is if we give him everything, right? And trust him in everything, and choose him all the time, right? So sometimes it doesn't seem like we can make that choice, but we can, right? And yes. Especially when we believe and know the kingdom of God is in us, and we've been working on the relationship, we've spent time there. It's a solid truth. We've been building habits that way. We're learning. We're getting to know him more and more and more. He really does love us. It doesn't look good in the Bible. It's really true. It's true for everybody, even South Africans, even New Zealanders, no matter where you're at. He loves you all, right? He loves us. No matter what some person said, it's not about works. You don't earn it, you know. No matter how big chaos is all around you, you know, it's love on, right? And we've got to get to that realization that truly greater is he in me than he that's in the world.
Yes.
We've got to get that, because it is true.
Yes.
There is a war going on.
Yeah. And
until that truth is not only oozing at us, but there's a that we apply our intentionality and our faith, and we release the fact, not their words, but we release from our innermost being those rivers of water, living water, that will change every environment around us, right? And we can make a difference, right? I mean, there's something I've been chewing on for a while, that just as, you know, right now there are, you know, radio frequencies, you know, going through my house and your house and wherever you are on the continent, we need to be releasing the same level of God loves me, not only for my protection, but to change everything around me, right? And when I was in the gym, I was like, Jim, 2 days ago, I was like, okay, well, God, why are you making such a big deal? Why do I need to be believing right now while I'm lifting weights that I'm releasing your presence? What is it? Why? You know, I mean, I don't see a difference. I don't feel a difference. But I felt like it was my exercise to start intentionally releasing his presence, just not on Sundays, just not at conferences, just not when I teach, just not when I want to, but like, dude, you need to be releasing me all the time. I'm like, why? Just do it. Keep doing it. Work on it. I'm like, okay, can I have a why, please? You know, this is what I'm doing. I know I should be trusting you. I need to be doing what you say, but, you know, this is hard. It's hard to bench press what I'm doing and release your presence at the same time. It's hard to walk from this area over here to that. It's not normal. That's the point. It's not normal. You need to get in the habit of that. And so I was getting through my workout. I was like, okay, I'm doing it. And then I was listening to a message, you know, and there's a gazillion, you know, conspiracy theories of everything going on the planet, right? And they're so negative. They so much glorify the enemy. It's ridiculous, right? But I was listening to one of these, really enemy glorifying messages, and it did its best not to glorify it too much. It was really pro enemy, but it was like, during September, during, you know, Feast of Tabernacles, and during the end of the Semitic year. And, you know, they were talking about the CERN folks, the guys that are exploding the protons together, the proton accelerator. And they were talking about, they're going to release this, they'll release that. And I was like, releasing? Wait a minute. God's talking about me releasing something. Oh, wait a minute. Why is this tape talking about releasing And the Lord's talking about releasing. And I'm going, God, what's going on? He goes, like, think about it. I go, my brain's hurting. Is it every moment of the day there's things being released? We got the sun, which is releasing radiation. You got your microwave, which is releasing microwave radiation. Your TV is releasing radiation. Your cell phone is releasing radiation. Why don't you release something for me? And I will go, why? Because every release is affecting everything. And you have the greatest thing in you to change everything around you. I'm like, wait a minute, this is deep. Okay, so I had to stop working out for a moment and go, okay, you're saying that the little bit that I do makes a difference? And he goes, the quarter thing, hello? Oh, I'm like, okay, wait a minute, Kate. So I was like, okay, you're saying that, okay, wait, what are you saying again? But the truth is, we don't know what our little actions do, right?
Yeah.
And there's a movie I watched on the flight coming back from California. It's called Tomorrowland. That movie will rock your world, okay? Yeah. And so everyone should go buy it right now. Leave the meeting, go buy the meat. Go. But it's the most. She says a statement. The hero in the movie. She says, you know, you never know what a little action will do to change the world. And I'm like, sure. I'm like, what? That's not true. And sure enough, you know, again, this I watched the movie twice on the plane, and a week or later, I get the LinkedIn email about the person, you know. And I'm going like, are you God? Because we don't know the influence of our actions, but I'm telling you, we need to know and start doing those small things because they're not small.
Okay? Yeah.
And if we don't do these small things, which are not small, the enemy, which is doing small things, they're adding up. A guy that I worked with, I went to the gym with him. He had this phrase. He said, It's the death of a thousand cuts. And he'd say, I go, dude, what's that mean? And he finally told me, he goes, well, one, he says, there was a torture in Korea or Vietnam way back, that they would cut a 1-inch cut in you. And a 1-inch cut doesn't, you know, not very deep, just 1 inch, doesn't do nothing at all. But 1,000 cuts, you can die. It's a very slow, agonizing death. I was like, dude, that's morbid. Because the point is little things add up. And you don't think it does, but it does. Little things make a difference. So if we believers were, you know, start doing the little things that the Father says to do, big things will happen, right? The little things, but seeking first the kingdom of God, you know, spending time with the Father, believing he's going to teach things, giving him time to teach us, giving him our attention to teach us, putting him first over something else, that little moment, that minute, that hour, that day, that second adds up. And we're living in a day that every bit of obedience that we can do, you know, there's a scripture that says we are God's weapons of righteousness, right? And if we're in a war and we're his weapons, we need to be in his hands, right? And so, you know, it all adds up, right? We individually are very significant. Everything we do is extremely significant, and we need to know that, right? And realize that, wow, okay, what I think matters, what I do matters, what I believe matters, it all matters, right? You know?
Yeah.
Not from a performance, as in, if I don't do this, he won't love me. It's no, if I don't do this, he still loves me. But something else doesn't happen, too, right? So.
Sure.
We've gone for a bit. We're not going to really hit on the kingdom of heaven here. We're going to hit that next time. But let me just say that, look at this verse. It's in the notes. Look at Matthew 12:28 for those who don't have the notes. I mean, this is Jesus. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And the come upon you is talking about the kingdom of God really being in you and maturing in you. But really, maturity happens when we realize who's in us and we relate to him properly.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah. I could travel to South Africa. It doesn't make me a South African, right? So God dwells in me. It doesn't make me a son of God. But if I start getting to know him, right?
Yes.
It's a process of changing, right? It's not a prayer that changed me. It's a process that changed me, right? And so, and just the last thing in the kingdom of God, I want to say this, that you receive your placement or your title or your royal placement and direction from the kingdom of God, not from the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is where you get to hang out with your angels and the cloud of witnesses. Lots of fellowship, lots of stuff, but it's not the same as getting the one-on-one tutorial or loving or guidance or workmanship from the Father who's dwelling in you.
Mm.
So it's such a priority from his perspective. I don't know what he did to make it possible, but he made it possible that he could be in you, right?
Yeah.
He did not have to do that, right? Mm. But he did it for some very, 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 very important reason, because you're that valuable.
Okay. Mm.
And if we believe that, it would be a greater, better motivation for us to spend time with him. If we start to realize all he's done to be with us, right? Then we go, oh, okay, I'll give you 5 minutes. Since you've done all that, you know. But the more we love him, the more we fall in love with him, right? And so it's a cycle, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so get on that cycle and stay on it, and it'd be cool.
Right? So good.
Oh, thank you, Wally. It was great. Oh.
So I enjoyed that too.
It was very good.
I learn all this stuff all the time.